Good morning, everyone. Self-love show. We're back. It's Thursday, 10 a.m. Here we are. I'm your host, Dawn Light, and this is my beloved sacred sister here, Trish Wright. And we have an amazing guest today, Misha. Beautiful, amazing Misha arriving here today to talk about evolved men and integrity. And we're so grateful to have you here, Misha.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Let me give a little rundown of Misha. Misha Byrick is the founder and director of For Love, a sex-positive community organization. He is also the founder of Integrity Coach and Integrity Coach Evolve.men, where he coaches, teaches, and writes on the intersection of gender and power in society. Previously, he ran partnerships for Datakind and Code for America and worked in international development in Brazil, India, Ghana, and Nepal. In 2005, he founded Emergency Communities, a 10 million disaster relief organization. He also has a BA from Columbia and an MPA from NYU. And at later on the show, I'll send you all his information because you'll want to get in touch with him, I'm sure. Misha, the thing that I want to start off with is kind of a For people who might not understand what integrity is or what it looks like in your world or what it looks like in the world, how does one know what integrity is and how do you know when you're out of it?
Great question.
I love that. So integrity is wholeness. The way that it was taught to me originally was by a woman who has become a mentor and an advisor named Bridge Feltus. She runs Intersection for Mankind and is amazing. She teaches integrity in the context of, she's a Black woman who teaches white people in cohorts how to be not racist. And it's the foundation of her practice is integrity. So she treats anti-racist work as white people coming into wholeness. She uses an analogy of a bicycle wheel with like a bent spoke, right? The wheel is whole when the spokes are not bent, but usually the spokes are bent. And the process of restoring integrity is to unbend the spokes. And the way that you know that you're out of integrity or the way that you know that you are not in your wholeness is if you're experiencing any kind of incoherence. And so this could look like frustration, resentment, ennui, anger, when you've hurt other people, when you're not feeling excited about the things that you're doing in your life, even, right? It doesn't have to be, out of integrity doesn't have to be, I've made a mistake. Sometimes being out of integrity means I'm not actually living out the things that I'm here on earth to do. I use a very, very wide definition of integrity in general in my practice, and it, but generally it means wholeness.
For me, integrity has always, integrity looked different before I went to Landmark, and then it looked very different after Landmark, and then it just looked very different after that.
Things that I'm here to do.
What integrity for me looked like is this opportunity to align myself with my word and my values, align my truth, and align my not a moral compass, but just my heart-centered spiritual compass to something that really resonated from my core, from my truth. And you know, Dawn's integrity looks different than my integrity in some ways, but we share similar values. So it was like living into my values and living into my word, even.
I'm really glad that you said that, because the way that what I find really juicy about integrity, and one of the things that we're going to talk about, is not making a conversation about harm about other people's values, but rather about your own. But being out of integrity means that you're out of alignment with the things that matter to you,
yes,
not that matter to other people necessarily.
Right. Or it's where we've broken agreements with ourselves, right? What are the agreements that we need to reassess that are out of alignment with the values we hold?
Yes. Yes, 100%. And so there is something kind of generally universal about some values, right? So in general, honoring your own agreements is a pretty universal value, right? There aren't that many people that would say, it doesn't matter to me whether or not I honor my own word, right? There aren't that many people who would say, it doesn't matter to me if I cause harm. Doesn't matter, right? Like, so there are some universals, but then within that, there's like what I find really juicy is to say, what is it about what you've done that isn't in alignment with you, what matters to you? Rather than what have you done that doesn't correspond or conform to society standards? Does that make sense? And a lot of my work is making the conversation about the values of the people that I'm working with rather than about them conforming to society's values.
Right. Powerful. Yeah. Makes so much sense.
It's really up for me. because I'm really in this conversation about conforming to the male gaze or conforming to the social construct of beauty standards. And I'm really in that. And it's like, well, does this behavior, is it out of integrity with my values? Or am I like to be, what's the word? I'll think about it. There's a word to be kind of a boundary pusher of the just general consensus reality. Like, I don't remember the word right now. It's been like, oh, or is that more aligned with my values to kind of push the beauty standard in a very specific way? Like y'all just might see me like full on, like just fate, like nude face. And like, yeah, maybe I'll just wear a burlap sack next time. Like, I don't know. You never know. Welcome to my world. Is that more aligned with my values or is the high fashion aligned with my values? And it's just personal, right? Yeah. And that's
I guess I don't want to use your example specifically because I don't want to impose on you, but what I've seen is that sometimes like the thing that's preventing someone from acting in integrity is this dichotomy that they've created for themselves between they've created a dichotomy between like, I could either act my truth because I'm a boundary pusher or I could conform. Right. And they've like created a dualism. And so like the clients that some of the clients that I love working with are, you know, actors. I've worked with clowns. I've worked with instigators. Comedians are often very, very challenging to work with. Right. Because a lot of the, especially the men that I've worked with, define their life mission. If you really get down to their values, some one of their core values is boundary pushing or is challenging presence. Like I feel in my wholeness, they will say to me, when I am pushing boundaries. So the conversation becomes, right? Oh, I love that because when we've uncovered like what is in your integrity, what are your standards and values and like the things that matter to you? And sometimes those are not just, you know, soft, sweet things like I want to be kind to everybody. Sometimes it is like I want to push the boundaries around me. Then the conversation becomes about like, how do I do this discerningly and skillfully rather than I have to make a choice between doing this and conforming to society.
I agree. Like, I mean, I thank you for actually bringing this thought in my example in, cause it comes up for me so often.
Yeah.
And I'm just so inspired by Frances McDormand's like whole beingness. And I just found out that she's married to Joel Cohen, but now I'm like, oh God, I think I have a whole new celebrity couple that I'm like pushers and people who like totally mock their own system. I'm like, oh God, I love them.
Yeah.
But coming back to integrity is like that feeling. I know that I'm out of integrity when I get that feeling that sometimes it feels like guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I behave in ways that I'm getting like I'm desperate to get a need met and I haven't quite maybe gotten, like I'm so desperate that I can't communicate appropriately of like, oh shoot, I really want something, but now I'm like, it's coming out backwards, right? I'm like, ah! And then I do this behavior and then I'm like, oh, well, that came out really awkward. And then the person, like, I mean, I'm out of integrity because I regardless of whether or not it was the other person was hurt or the other people were hurt, like I knew that that wasn't in the standard of my behavior. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, like here's a very, like an example is like, I went out and had some fun the other night. I went and like partied with some of the people in my friend group. And I woke up the next day and I felt really guilty. And I was like, oh my God. And I'm like, nothing. Like I didn't do anything wrong. Like I didn't do anything wrong. There was nothing out of like all of my agreements. And there wasn't anything out of integrity with the agreements that I have with others. I just woke up feeling really awkward. And what I realized is that, oh, the belief that I've held, that this dichotomy belief,
mm-hmm.
that was an old place of my integrity that no longer sits or lives there. It was just like sort of a running pattern program that I had been running. And I was like, oh, I actually, is it out of my integrity to go have fun? Well, no, it's not. It's not out of my integrity to be honest either. It is in integrity with my new life. And I'm just now sort of like moving through a new way of being, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, growth can be uncomfortable sometimes, and moving your integrity into more alignment can also be uncomfortable.
I really love that example, because a lot of the time, I think at least half of my clients come to me when they've breached and they've harmed, when they've caused harm, right? So there's being out of integrity in a way that doesn't harm other people. And then there's being out of integrity in a way that like actually harms other people. Right. And oftentimes we're out of integrity when we're out of integrity, no one else will know or no one, right. It's just like they don't, like no one else who partied with you had any idea that being out of integrity was a part of that for you. Right. But there was something there for you to see, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the outside world will give you the indicator.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so there's just, I just wanted to highlight that it's not always the case that that the world will feed it to you on a platter to be like, hey, there's something for you to look at. Sometimes it will in the form of right. someone being mad at you, but not always.
It's not every, like if I do something out of my agreement with Dawn and like, it's not all the time that you're out of integrity with someone else. And that's, yeah, like, right, like, that's what.
Yeah, and I feel like even being out of integrity with someone else is really about being out of integrity
with yourself. Out of integrity with yourself, yes.
Yeah.
I was just about to take it there. Like, it's always about being out of integrity with yourself, honestly, you know?
Yeah. And it looks like this, right? It looks like it's important to me to really show up for the people that I love. And I didn't do that, right? Or it's important to me to not hurt people. Especially the people that I love, right?
I got that one. I feel so bad when I hurt my people, and I'm like, I didn't know I was hurtful.
Yeah.
Just doing it's my healing so, thing, glumping
well,
around.
Well, and there's another one, right? Like, I didn't know it was hurtful is a very, very common, very human thing, and it's got nothing to do with integrity, right? I didn't know. Is placing the focus on making it okay. Like, it's okay that I harmed you because I didn't know. When really the point is, oh, like I harmed you. And now I know, right?
And I can take responsibility, like lean into it. Like, where can I take responsibility for my actions, my choices, my thoughts, my energy that created this place? The totally. Situation, whatever it may be, right? And it's like really honoring the other person's feelings, regardless if it's sticky or hard or whatever, and then giving yourself the opportunity to just say, wow, I co-created this, even if it was a bit unconscious of me.
In fact, I would say that the vast majority of the times, in fact, I've worked with 40 clients one-on-one. I've worked with about 100 men in group settings. I can't think of a single time ever where someone intentionally caused harm. Every single instance of harm I have ever seen, ever, has been unintentional.
Yes, of course. Yes.
So like any kind of emphasis on like, I didn't know, or I wasn't sure, like is actually totally the wrong place to put the emphasis. it doesn't contribute to anything. But what it does do is deflect attention from where it needs to be, which is on the breach. And this is partly from our capitalist litigious society, where we've been trained from a legalistic perspective to avoid accountability, right? Like, one of the things I like to point out when I work with clients, especially clients who have actually really caused harm, is that everything I will tell you to do, or everything I will invite you into, will be the opposite of what a lawyer will tell you. This is not good legal advice. If you right? Because a lawyer will tell you deny, deflect, never take accountability. A lawyer will tell you never, ever, ever own what you've done. Even if you're not legally liable, or even if you could win in court, because and this is what's so crazy, because if you take accountability for one small thing, then 10 years in the future, that can be used against you in a court of law as an indicator of like a lack of character or as a pattern of harm causing.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So if a man was sexually abusive to his girlfriend, a lawyer will not tell him to write a restoration of integrity letter. They will not, they will say, do not go into a transformative justice process. They will say, deny, excommunicate, get off of Facebook, right? Like, shut it down. Don't ever go there, because that's legally advisable.
Interesting.
I do have a question about not knowing.
Sure.
Like, I think that there's a difference between being like, oh, I wasn't aware,
mm-hmm.
and not using it as a deflection, being like, oh, I didn't know, so it's okay. But there's also just the place of like, oh, I didn't know that was something that you held as a value. Mm-hmm. And now I want to restore integrity and I want to take ownership, yeah. Not using it as a deflector. Or is it just at that point you're like, oh, you can't say I didn't know or I don't know.
There's no real hard and fast rules here, generally. Although I do have some like guidelines that I use. The problem that I have with I didn't know is where, and this is so often the case with any kind of apology or restoration of integrity. I do want to get into the nitty gritty of like how to do this well. But like the problem that I have with I didn't know is it's focused on your innocence. It places the focus mm-hmm. on your innocence, right? And it sets up a dynamic where it's about innocence or guilt, right? Does that make sense? Like the focus should be on the harm.
Okay, so let's example this, right? Just for my own brain and maybe everybody else watching. Let's say you and I are out getting fries, and I don't know that you are like really freaking full on protective of your fries. And I do the girlfriend thing and I like reach over and I like, well, the friend thing. I don't know about anybody else. Does anyone else steal other people's fries? Cause okay. And I reach over and I grab a couple of your fries and you just are like, whoa. No, I'm like, I could say, I see I caused you harm and I could just do the thing right there. Or I could be like, oh God, I didn't know. And it's not that I want to make it better, but I'm like, oh, this is something that you hold really clear and value something here. And mm-hmm. I want to drop in. And even though I didn't know, I'm not being innocent. I'm just like, oh, now I know. The more you know, like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. But this is the difference. It's a subtle difference. But I would say something like, oh, glad to learn that. Which is a different energy from I didn't know. I didn't know is about getting out of trouble. Happy to learn that makes it about like the learning.
Honoring the person.
Yeah. Does that okay. make sense? It takes the focus off of yourself and off of your innocence, off of getting out of trouble, off of saying like, oh, I didn't know, so it's okay. And puts it on... Oh, thanks for letting me know that.
Thank you for enlightening me. So now I can yeah. honor your boundary. I can honor your value.
All right.
Let's run it again. So we're sitting there. I grab your fries. You get upset.
Uh-huh.
And I say, thank you for letting me know that that's something that upsets you.
Yeah, perfect.
So I don't know is no longer one show, one self-love show, and now I Don't Know is no longer available in the whole world.
I didn't know.
You hear that, all, y'all?
I didn't know. Yeah, totally. I wasn't aware. I didn't know. All of that just because, and this is the technology of what I'm talking about, or like the real, it, right, is that, and I'm, right, is the impression people take away from words has less to do with the content than, right, with the energy of it and with the, right? So it's got less to do with what exactly you are saying than with the energy. And the energy of I didn't know is about myself and my innocence and my getting out of trouble. It's a monkey mind statement, right? It's about, well, I couldn't be blamed for this. And that's the energy. And most people will take that away from that, even if the energy that you're trying to put into it is about, well, good, let me focus on the learning and let me focus on not doing that again. Thank you for letting me know that this upsets you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I thought it was, that's a really clear distinction. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, anytime there's an I'm upset because, it's an opportunity to explore what is really going on underneath all of this. You know, anytime that I'm upset because is a trigger, right? When you're triggered, it's an opportunity for both parties to acknowledge, where's the disconnect?
Mm-hmm.
Where, what's really going on here? What beliefs are you holding? What judgments are each of you holding that are causing the pattern to arrive? The person holding the trigger and the person that is initiated the trigger, there's a pattern to investigate on both sides. To be mm-hmm. seen, and there's a learning opportunity underneath it to arise to the surface, an opportunity for forgiveness, compassion for oneself and the other, all involved, because there's a learning on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's amazing that the healing, I will even use that word, right? The healing energy of someone creating a breach and then placing 100% of the focus on the healing of the breach rather than on their own innocence.
Yes. It actually mends it.
It's incredible. It's transformative. I've, mm-hmm. you know, the degree to which I have like used the tools that I want to share today to like radically reduce the amount of time I spend arguing with people who I love.
Powerful.
Because yeah. Right, because this should be like the core takeaway, is the transformative power of skipping over the entire conversation about who was at fault. Like none of that. You just skip right over that and get into, oh, like I see that like there was something I was out of integrity, or I see that there was harm done. Here's what I want to do to fix it. Here's what I want, right? I don't mean rush that. And that's actually one of the things that people could do that really fuck up apologies, or right, is to rush it, right?
Right.
Is to try to make it okay fast. That can actually cause more damage.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right. But yeah, the energy of I didn't know is similar to the second you harm someone saying, please forgive me. It indicates a desire to get out of trouble, right? And there's a lot of ways, and actually not just I didn't know, but there's a lot of ways that people fuck up apologies by making them about getting out of trouble. Does that make sense? It's so frequent, right?
It feels inauthentic when someone does that.
Yeah. Right. It feels
not compassionate, not caring, not understanding. It feels like, oh, you just want to make it about getting, like, completing this as fast as possible.
Right. Right. Because here's the thing, when there's a breach, right. And let's just use interpersonal harm as the example for being out of integrity rather than, you know, I was meant to be a writer and I'm not writing. And so I'm out of integrity, which is true and a form of being out of integrity. But let's just talk about interpersonal harm. There's so much, like here are some of the many ways. I actually wrote them down in preparation for this call. Some of the many ways that people harm or people cause more harm with apologies. Ready?
Uh-huh.
All right. They rush it. They force the person harmed to do the emotional labor of explaining the impact. You know, have you ever like had someone fuck up and be like, I'm sorry, okay? it's fucking hard.
One of our viewers says, Brandy says, yeah, the good old, I'm sorry, but.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're going to get to that one, Brandy. Right.
And they even get angry that they're having to apologize, or like, it's like, yes. Okay,
bring them all in. Let's list them. Right. Minimizing. Right. Like, I'm, you know, yeah, but it wasn't that big a deal. Right. Like, deflecting. Right. I'm sorry, but I've been so busy, or I'm sorry, but like, it's not that big a deal. I'm sorry, but I didn't know, you know, like, you know, right. So the energy becomes, this wasn't really a thing. Right.
The underlying current is you don't matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or the underlying current is this thing I've determined doesn't matter.
Yes.
The thing that I did, I've said, right? And so that's the energy, right? Have you ever received an apology from someone who you can tell thinks that whatever they've just given you definitely should suffice? Right? It's so clear from their energy that, like, they've done all they're willing to do on this one.
I can be honest, I've done that.
Sure. Totally. Right? So, and this is actually one of the ways people fuck it up all the time, is that with the energy of their apology, is they're saying, like, I've determined that this is worth about just about one sentence, right? Or just about 5 minutes of conversation, but I'm clearly over this now. So if you're not over it, then I'm going to get, then I'm indicating to you that I have erased your actual need. I'm not interested in how you actually feel. I'm interested in having this discomfort that I experience from being out of integrity over as soon as possible.
Because I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing, right? Like, if I get upset because you took my fries, which is such right, let's just say, I don't know why you're using that example, but let's just say, it's a perfect example because it doesn't apply to us. But let's just say I get upset, right? Then my, like, because I'm upset, that I know, because I'm upset, that you're uncomfortable. Because we all know how uncomfortable it is to have someone else, especially someone who loves you or you love, upset with you.
Yes.
So I, as the aggrieved person, am going to be expecting you to be trying to get out of trouble.
Yes.
Does this make sense, Dawn? Right? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, so the dynamic that's set up when there's a harm caused, it's always going to be like, is the person who caused me harm going to really repair this? Or is they going to just try to dig their way out of trouble? And so the person who's harmed is always going to be looking for the harm causer to be out of integrity, even in the way they try to get out of trouble, even the way they try to restore it, right? And this is often like, oh, shit. Yeah, sorry, honey. Like, we're cool, right? Right, it looks like, let's just get rid of it. Like, let's make it go away. Tell me that it's okay. Tell me that. And the pressure too, and this is real too, there's a huge pressure put on the person aggrieved or the person harmed to forgive. The second anybody utters the words I'm sorry, the pressure that, you know, that we feel to say, oh, it's cool, oh, it's okay, is enormous.
Mm.
And I think one of the big ways to make an apology really healing is to say it with the energy and with the words of not expecting things to be okay. You can't have the entitlement. And this is like being entitled with an apology of like, I'm sorry. And then with the energy and being like, okay. And then moving on in your conversation or moving on in the relationship, right? Means that, does that make sense? So this is one of the many ways. Let's come up with some others. I've got so many. Let's come up with it together though. Like, go ahead.
Well, I want to move. You stay here. I have a question that I want to ask.
All right, well, just a couple others is, failing to indicate a way that you're going to shift the behavior in the future. Right.
I'm sorry. So, yeah, like I understand the impact. It's, you know, like,
but this is my stance, and I'm not willing to change it. Kind of vibe.
But that's who I am, Misha. That's who I am, Dawn. That. Yeah. Ugh, can't you just accept me for who I am?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
This sometimes hurt so hard, like, I feel it.
This is one that I really want to come back to. Actually, it's a great segue into one of the tools that I wanted to share, right? I have two things that I wanted to share. And there was the restoration of integrity process, which I think is actually a really useful tool to like learn and conceiving of restoration of integrity as different from an apology. Mm-hmm. But then I actually put both of those things on a scale, right? And I call it the scale of accountability, right? So is it okay if I go into this? I don't know the flow. Is that all right?
Yeah. Totally a dynamic conversation. Okay. We're just gonna move.
All right. So
if you're feeling it.
Okay. I'm feeling it. Okay. So basically there's a scale, and it starts from the kind of apology that can actually really cause harm. Ready? So here's what it looks like. Way at the bottom is pure gaslighting, right? Is saying it didn't happen, right? So let's say there was a breach, right? So at the bottom is like just deny.
I didn't steal your fries.
I don't know what you're talking about. straight up gaslighting, right?
I don't know how you saw that. Like
number two is I didn't do it. It happened. But I didn't do it, right? Mm-hmm. After that, it happened, and I may have done it, but it wasn't my fault. I didn't know, or I've been really busy, or I've been so stressed, right? I've been working really hard, right?
Or I just wasn't feeling well. I was really sick, or, you know, all the things, all the excuses.
Excuses.
I'm overworked. I'm really just stressed out.
Okay. Right. We're still at the place where this is like, right. It's maybe causing more harm. It's definitely not creating the satisfaction and the healing and the beauty and the intimacy and the closeness from that can come from real restoration of integrity. Right. Okay.
Cause there's no taking responsibility or accountability for.
Right. Right. We're still in the kind of real negative.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm following. I'm just like, okay. Oh, my heart's aching.
Totally. I'm so glad we're talking about this. I love talking about it. All right. Here's the next stage. Ready? It happened and I did it, but it wasn't that bad.
Ow.
Right. So like, right. Does that make sense? Minimizing, right. Deflecting, right. I might've, sure. I did it. And you know, sure. Okay. It was my fault technically, but like, it wasn't that bad. Right. Like
stealing your fries
now.
Yeah. What the hell?
It's just a, you know,
right. Like I just borrowed your dress, like right. At your closet. Like it wasn't that bad.
No, right. What's that?
I know I told you I'd be here at 6:00, you know, but right.
Oh.
Right. So that, right. You're right. In other words, the person who caused the breach or who made the breach is determining the, right. How much you should care, which tends to feel really shitty if you were upset, right. If like stealing fries is something really important to me, then you telling me that it's not that big a deal is not going to make me feel much better. It's not going to like help
me. It's going to make me feel worse.
Right. And not to be super gendered, but men tend to often do this, right. They appeal to a sense of objective stand, right, of like, of what is an objective big deal versus small deal. This happens all the time. It wasn't that big a deal, right? Raise your hand if you've heard a man say this to you, right? Wasn't that big a deal. All right. Okay. Now we're getting out of the realm of gaslighting. We're going to keep moving, right?
The realm of gaslighting, oh God.
Here it is. We're moving out of the realm of gaslighting into the realm of apologies, but we're still in the realm, we're going to stay in the realm of shitty apologies, right? So here we go to shitty apologies. It happened, you know, and then you say something like, I'm sorry it happened.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
I'm sorry it happened, right? Right. I'm sorry that it happened, as opposed to I'm sorry that I hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's higher up, right? On this list.
Yes.
I'm sorry I hurt you is much better. We're getting to that one, right? I'm sorry it happened is the worst kind of apology, right? Because it's technically an apology because you're saying the words I'm sorry, which I could give a fuck, right? But I'm sorry it happened indicates that there's some like external force causing things to happen in the world that like is not you, right? Harm was done. Mistakes were made. Right?
It feels like lip service because they're just going through the motions of saying I'm sorry to get it done and over with, but they really don't truly acknowledge that they hurt you.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Here's another version of that, right? A little bit better, but not much. I'm sorry you got hurt. Right? Which is what you were saying, Trish, right? Like, I'm sorry that you feel that way is another version of this. I'm sorry, right? In other words, I'm saying the words I'm sorry, but the fault of the pain is yours because I'm still in the this wasn't that big a fucking deal place.
Right. It mattered to me.
I'm just like kind of that person. I'm sorry, I'm feeling really triggery right now because I'm going back through all these places where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sorry you got hurt. You ran over my dog. Like, what are you? Yeah, I got hurt.
Right.
These are just random things in my brain that just fall out.
Great. Like this is super real, right? Right. There's all these different ways that make it worse, right? That make it say, like, yeah, technically he said I'm sorry, but like, why do I not feel any better?
Why do I feel like he doesn't care still about my feelings or about me at all?
Right. And I really love what you're getting to because the energy of the apology has to do with demonstrating compassion, demonstrating empathy, demonstrating listening, rather than saying the words I'm sorry, right? And a lot of my clients want these kind of concrete rules of saying, like, right? And so I try to, in the interest of serving men, because it was my client, my calling is to serve men, and specifically in this way, is giving them a technology, right? And giving them a process. And this is that process. So specifically saying...
Oh, go ahead. That was just a...
Oh, sure. Okay. Okay. So moving up, I'm sorry I hurt you is the best kind of I apologize, right? I'm sorry I hurt you, right? Because it says the words I'm sorry and you take ownership of the thing, right? And you take ownership of the harm that you caused. Not I'm sorry you got hurt. Not I'm sorry that I fucked up. I'm sorry I hurt you.
Well, what's better? I'm sorry I fucked up or I'm sorry I hurt you?
I'm sorry I hurt you.
I'm sorry I hurt you.
Is everyone watching and listening right now? Like, are you resonating with these half-assed apologies is what they are? They're just like, they're the I didn't know, getting out of trouble, I'm sorry and you just wipe it off the table. You're like, hurry up.
Even I'm sorry I fucked up is kind of shitty. Because I'm sorry I fucked up makes it about, well, I'm a human and we all fuck up, right? Haven't you ever heard someone who says, gives you an apology and in the same breath says, well, nobody's perfect. Right? Because they're putting the emphasis on getting out of trouble. Nobody's perfect is another way of saying, let me get out of trouble. Right? And the emphasis is on me getting out of trouble. And almost like without your consent, enrolling you in a project, and that project is making me feel better. Right? I enrolled you in the project of making it okay. I'm sorry I fucked up. It's about me getting to be a better man rather than, shit, I hurt you. You are hurt. That's where the emphasis needs to be, right? Which is why I'm sorry I hurt you. It's really the only way to go. But I'm going to take it a step further, okay? So now we're at like where society, like now I've like, we've encapsulated like gaslighting, we've encapsulated apologies. But the next step beyond that is a restoration of integrity and true accountability, right? And true accountability and a restoration of integrity looks like this. Here's what I did. Not, I'm sorry I hurt you in some vague sense. I don't even indicate that I truly understood why I hurt you or how I actually hurt you. But here's what I did that hurt you, right? Having it said and repeated back is deeply healing.
Yes.
Yes.
Does that look like I ate your fries? And
without asking.
Mm-hmm.
Misha
ate your fries on that mask.
Yeah. And it's because what you're doing when, here's what I did, is you're establishing shared reality.
Yes.
Which is so often the case, especially in intimate relationships and dynamics where like there's an argument, there isn't that shared reality, yes. Right? This is the typical situation. She gets really upset and he says, I'm sorry, honey, I'm so sorry. And it's not really clear that he understands what the breach was, that he understands the thing. But it's definitely clear that he doesn't want her to be mad at him anymore. Does that make sense? So most of the time, right? And I know that especially women like tend to like have this, right? Have this dynamic playing, right? In their head of like, if I get really mad at him, he's just going to apologize just to get out of trouble, but he's not necessarily going to see what it was. So I have to like, right? Like modulate my anger such that I don't completely just force him into a place where he's just going to like apologize for whatever, for anything, right? He's going to martyr himself or he's going to string himself up, right? is this resonating with you too?
Yeah, no, so it looks like, oh shit, like I'm pissed. And now I have to speak to him in a language that he'll understand the impact. Regardless, like, it's not that I want him to change and manipulate and notice my impact, yeah. The impact that he made.
All right, we're going to get to impact, right? This is what comes next. So here's what I did helps establish a shared reality and helps actually say, I did the thing, right? Which is really, really good and healing.
Yes.
Right? So, and this is really important. Let's use the French fries example, right? It's not, like, I'm sorry, I ate your fries, right? Right. It's actually saying, I see that I took your fries without asking. Like I took something that was yours.
I want to acknowledge my behavior. I want to acknowledge how I'm showing up in the relationship, right? I'm showing up I was unconscious of me to not ask you about if it was okay that we could share the fries. Mm. And I'm deeply sorry that I took from you without asking.
I love that. I love that, right? Because now we're getting into like the real healing part, which is the radical empathy and the restatement of harm and the focus on harm rather than on getting out of trouble, right? And this is the next step, right? Is here's what I did. Here's how it hurt you, right? This is empathy. And this is where a lot of people fuck up because they rush the apology before they've taken the time to understand how it hurt them, how it hurt the other person, right? They make the apology about like just fixing right away. There's been a breach, right? And it's a very natural thing, right? For very, like a lot of the clients when I get, right, we'll have a session, which in the first 50, right? The first 5 minutes is them saying this wasn't a big deal, right? The second 15 minutes is like getting them to see, oh shit, it was a big deal.
Well, it wasn't right. A big deal for them.
Right, right, no, right.
The other person.
And the party that's hurt does not want to feel like they have to explain why they're hurt or what it's about. Like that's even more hurtful when you have to show up and explain even to the person that's like, wow, you're still not getting it. This is how I'm hurt.
Right. So one of the worst things you can do, right? Men, if you're listening, one of the worst things you can do if you hurt your woman is to apologize right away before you've taken the time to do the emotional labor on your own to understand the way that she's been hurt. Because you're going to put her in a position where she's going to be forced into like this impossible position of either explaining her pain to you, which is, like you said, can be re-traumatizing, or telling you it's all good, right? Succumbing to the pressure of the apology, right? Because an apology is pressure. The pressure of the apology is, now it's on me to forgive him, yeah. Because he's clear, like, that's the apology. Like, I just got it. Like, oh shit. Like, it happened really fast. He didn't really take the time to understand, but now he's done the apology. So I guess I shouldn't forgive him now because otherwise I'm going to get blamed for holding on to it.
I'm a grudge holder. Oh, wait, hold on. There's, you're bringing that up again. That, oh, you're bringing that up. Means, oh God, you didn't actually like acknowledge the impact or what it meant to me. So I'm going to bring it up again because it keeps happening. And that wound keeps being like the scab keeps getting picked and Can you just say something to that scab in that wound?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So here's how the thing that I, here's how I hurt you is, and this is the real juice, right? Is the kind of insight that can only come from introspection. All of, up till now, everything can just be words. It's just shit that you can just say. You can memorize it as a phrase. I'm sorry I hurt you. And you can just say it. And it's actually pretty good, you know, like in our society, like that would be pretty good. But it's not real emotional labor. The emotional labor comes from, like, I just sat with my journal, or I sat with my coach, or I sat with my best friend, and I talked about the thing that I did to you. And I really took the time to understand the way that it probably hurt you based on everything I know about you. Mm-hmm. It's based on the right. Right. And this is, and the right. So you bring in your own time, your own emotional labor, the context of the relationship, like everything I know about you, like, oh shit. Like he has a thing. He's told me it wasn't about French fries specifically, but he's told me about people taking things from him without asking. He's told me about like the sense of like how he hates it when people feel entitled to him, his things. He's told me about how, you know, he's germophobic or, you know, like I've known those things. He might not have made it explicitly about the specific French fry situation, but he got mad at me a month ago about stealing his pizza, or he got, you know, or he got mad at a friend and he told me about it, you know? So there was stuff. There was actually some stuff like, oh shit. Like I see that by doing it, even after he told me recently, that actually made it worse. That it was like, it wasn't just the French fries. It was that he just told me that he hates it.
I see how I triggered him.
Mm-hmm. And it's in the place of like the person who was the person who's been harmed is like, hey, I told you this already. Like you, if you knew this about me, this would show you that you love me. Right. And now you're stealing my fries and maybe your brother used to beat you up and steal your fries. Like, God, that would be a really triggery thing. Like, God.
But this is actually what the reason I smile when I share this is that there's so much beauty that can come from this that isn't resolved by apologies. Apologies get you back to neutral, but the way to be joyful and intimate and to use a breach as a way of like gaining more intimacy is to have this time where you take a half an hour to a year or two to really think about, you know, the impact and do the emotional labor without requiring the person who was harmed to do it, right? So I'm going to take this actually for a second out of the context of intimate relationship and talk about racial microaggressions or, right? One of the worst things you can do if you've done something racist as a white person is to ask the black person that you, right, to explain their harm to you. Please explain your trauma to me so I can be a better person, right? I don't, like,
it's asking them to do emotional labor.
And yeah. That's emotional labor. It's asking them to do emotional labor about something that hurt them.
Yes.
Right.
It's a double whammy. It's worse. Right? It's not just saying, hey, you know, person who's black and is also my friend, can you help me like understand like the impact that I caused to this other black person that I was harmful to? It's saying, could you please help me understand your trauma and how the fact of me, saying this thing or railroading you in that meeting, whatever it was, like hurt you. Explain your pain to me is a form of harm.
Yes.
Right? Because it implies an entitlement. It says, this is about me becoming a better person. Help me be like, your job as a black person is to help me be a less racist white person, which understandably black people tend to resent, right? Like, why the fuck? What? Like, why is that my job? How did that become my job? And how is this? How are you entitled to it? Like, how are you assuming that that's my job? Right? Because, like,
being your friend,
own self growth. Like, I should just like take the time and energy to explain. Like, fuck you. Like, I'm not here for that. I'm not here for your learning. Like, go away. Educate yourself. There's 18 billion books on it. Like, go do that, please. And then come back and explain to me how you harmed me. Right? And it's a knee-jerk thing. It's a way white people tend not even to notice it when it happens, right? Because they're so focused on how good a white person they're being. Right? Does that make sense? It's so bad. So here's how it hurt you is the juice. This is the thing that can really propel it, because it shows that I've done the emotional labor, right? And not just the emotional labor to understand it, but the emotional labor to understand that the emphasis needs to be placed on the harm done and on not necessarily, and then here's the discernment and the skill is you have to do this in a way that doesn't re-trigger them or re-traumatize them, right? And this is from, I get this from every like landmark, from a lot of anti-racist educators like Layla Saad, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous does this, right? You can't restore integrity in a way that causes more harm, right?
Absolutely.
Right. You can't just go back to everybody you hurt. And this was after Me Too, right? Everybody noticed this after Me Too. Like, men just went through and started randomly shooting off like really shitty, half-hearted apologies to everybody that ever fucked. Like, oh God. You know?
Yeah.
I mean it, like, right? Like, you can't cause more harm, right? You have to be discerning and skillful. So you can't restate the harm in a way that's re-triggering. And that requires skill and discernment and the time and energy to like take all these things that you're seeing and realizing and putting them into the kind of package that like that is healing, mm-hmm. rather than,
yes.
you know, like bringing up their trauma, for instance, willy-nilly, because it's, you know, basically the energy is still about my education and my self-improvement, right? A lot of my female mentors have told me how harmful it is to have their pain used as fodder for men's growth.
Mm. Whoa. Intense.
And I just want to bring...
Sorry, daughter, that's not too much.
No, it's good. It's good.
No, it's great. I also
want to bring up that it's... that there's so many times that there's harm been caused in communities that are marginalized, whether that's LGBTQIA plus communities, as well as, you know, I mean, it's all nationalities and it's women, it's children even, it's this harm can be caused in many, many different places. Just they're like, I'm just relating it to a comment that says saying racism only applies to Black people is not acknowledging there are other races out there who suffer from racism.
Absolutely. Yeah. True.
There is a question that came in that says, is it the case of restoring integrity? Is it the case that much of this comes from one feeling we need to take responsibility for someone else's feelings and relationships? And there is a distinction there. And I think that Misha's been really like,
I love that question. So, mm-hmm. Misha, does that mean I have to emotionally caretake everybody? No, and in fact, I'll even go further, right? Because someone feels hurt doesn't mean even necessarily that there was a breach of integrity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
I just want to share like the two things that I share in my coaching practice, like basic spiritual psychology principles that really help mend and deepen connection, is when you can really embody seeing through the loving essence, really acknowledging other beings and mm-hmm. everyone as loving essence, right? So if you can hear from the loving essence and see from the loving essence, it really brings compassion into every conversation. So it bridges the gap from where there's a disconnect, right? Because it's a complete disconnect going on when one person is in the stance of, you know, not willing to take full responsibility of how they hurt the person, right? And then the other person that was the person that was hurt is feeling unacknowledged, right? And so yeah. When we both have the stance of seeing the loving essence and hearing the loving essence, it's that willingness to meet in the place of compassion.
Mm-hmm. And how I'm hearing restoring integrity is a place of staying in connection.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. Like restoring integrity is all about like, it's, when you're doing it with someone as a practice, has everything to do with not just staying in connection, but deepening connection.
Yes.
It's a deep indicator of vulnerability and love, right? Yeah. Where apology is often about again, I'll return to this, our conditioning, right? Like our litigious hyper-capitalist society, like the conceit, in fact, right? And this is, I have to go back to like in Black and Indigenous communities and the way that like I've learned these practices from mentors from those communities, right? Is that the tradition is about circles that you can't kick people out of. There's a conceit in capitalism that is, which is that we don't have to do emotional labor for each other, right? The conceit is we could just walk through the world, and or the only person that we have to do emotional labor with is our husband or wife, right? Like that's it. Like, you know, like I don't owe any emotional labor to the people around me. I don't owe any kind of like, right? There isn't a, you know, if they just better get over it, or you know, they better be satisfied with a quick apology, because you know that's all they're getting. That's all there is. You know, that's all that I'm expected to do. I think actually the truth is, I think that the placing the emphasis on not emotionally caretaking is really the wrong place to put the emphasis. I think the place to put the emphasis is on your standards of integrity and what matters to you. Right? It's not, I'm sorry that I'm in trouble now.
It
matters to me to not cause harm.
It sounds a little like,
and if you're thinking, oh shit, Misha, are you telling everybody to sign themselves up for hours and hours of unending emotional labor to hold space for everybody who feels butthurt because they did some tiny little shit? Then no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that this practice reduces the hours and hours to 2 or 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's what you started off with, is like you don't have to do the blame game. You don't have to do the argument, that you can actually just like drop in, get really present and be like, oh, this is, and it's so deeply compassionate and so deeply empathetic, right?
Mm-hmm. You skip this is a time-saving device. This will literally reduce the amount of time you spend in disharmony, in argument, in conversation about people's feelings. Like this reduces it. Wow.
And it's harm reduction.
Yeah.
Again, we went through all of the places where the apology can be actually more harming if you do it in this like flippant sort of like, oh, I didn't, you know, whatever. I'm just trying to get out of trouble.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know. All that stuff. Right. And the other thing, I mean, like, not for nothing, but like, that's actually one of the biggest places that the drama comes from, is the second someone sees, oh shit, like there's I owe this person an apology, or I, you know, like I was out of integrity, I did this thing, is the first, like one of the most common ways to deflect is to say, but they hurt me too.
So but that's the question I wanted to ask earlier.
Yeah. But they hurt me too. What if? Right?
So, yeah, it's leaning into the ego's justification of like, you know, it's because the ego just doesn't want to identify that, you know, that we're all one, really.
And this is the practice. Like it's getting good at, right? Getting good at fucking up, right? One of the things that we like to say is it's not usually what you did, right? One of my mentors, Angel Adioha, who's taught me this stuff from the tradition of Indigenous communities, right? As repeated this, like, and they've told me, it's not what you did; it's what you did after.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
It's not a right, and usually, and that's the thing, right? It's people make it about the thing. They say, "Well, stealing fries isn't objectively a very big deal, right? I didn't hurt you. I didn't like slap your face. That would be a big deal." Right. But it's not about the thing. I can't tell you, I have seen breaches in communities. I have seen breakups. I've seen giant Facebook callouts that were all caused by an initial breach. That was right. The kind of thing that most people would consider tiny. I've seen a huge one actually in a community that I'm adjacent to that I've supported this restoration of integrity around someone accidentally throwing out a letter that contained a check for someone because it was addressed to their a name that they'd since changed. Innocent mistake, very small, right? Small.
well, that check meant something to the person.
I wouldn't even go there. It's not about that. It's about the fact that after they did it, instead of going like, wow, you know, like after this person who the check, yes, did mean a lot to, right? It really meant a lot to them, mm-hmm. right? That they did, right? After learning of all the different ways that this meant a lot to them, they didn't say, oh, wow, thank you for explaining to me how much that check meant to you, right? They said, it wasn't that big a deal. 4 or 5 months later, $700 or $10,000, whatever it is that they've spent on mediators and shit, like, does this make sense? It blown up because they've continued to deny the impact of what wouldn't have been a big deal if they just owned it. Every single thing that I've engaged with a client on wouldn't generally have been that big a deal if they just fucking owned it. Not, oh, actually, that's not true. There's been some things which are like the breach itself was like enough to really, really cause trauma. But a lot of the times the breach itself wouldn't have caused any trauma if the person who'd caused it had just fucking owned it.
It's not a big deal.
Taking
responsibility.
Yeah. Right. Like, I see that that was the harm, right? Like, and I really want to emphasize this. I want to take away acknowledging the immensity of harm that can be caused from something unintentional does not imply agency or maliciousness. In fact, focusing on whether or not you are admitting agency or maliciousness is harmful, right? Saying this should be okay because I didn't mean to throw out your check is harmful.
I didn't know. if you all are just now popping in, go back, you know, and we literally just dissect and dissolve I didn't know and how that's just a half-assed and actually just a trying to get out of responsibility.
This happens in sex situations all the time, right? Like I run sex positive organization. I've done been a lot of like sex parties or like sex situations. There's a lot of this is the classic thing with consent violations. I didn't mean to. I didn't know. I didn't, right? I didn't know that hitting her with a paddle was going to be so traumatizing to her. I thought that's what she wanted. Like, it's about, I didn't know, I didn't, right? Rather than focusing, and this is, again, I'm going to really come back to this because it's such a reframe, mm-hmm. right? Our society says that when harm is done, you know, there's the court system, there's the law, there's the police. And so right? What do we know from courts and law? It's about innocence or guilt. Interpersonal harm is actually not usually about innocence or guilt. It's about the harm. Right? And this is the big lesson from the transformative justice community. It's not about innocence or guilt. It's about the harm. When you focus on the innocence or guilt of the person, then you get into, well, what did he know at the time? What could he have known or not? You know, and then you get into like experts on the podium, on the stand, taking the right and saying, this person was not in their right mind. This person was all this shit of like, let me all do all this shit to prove my innocence. Take it away, take it out of the paradigm of innocence or guilt and make it about the harm. Right? This can only, as Dawn, I think, as you very, very rightly pointed out, it can only occur in a context in which there's love.
Mm-hmm. Nisha, would you like to take us through? Would you like to give us an opportunity to...
Yeah. But well, I'm almost done, right? So we're still going through the scale. We haven't gotten to the really juicy parts, right? So... here's how it hurt, right? Here's what I did, super juicy. Here's how I hurt you, right? The empathy, the doing the emotional labor on your own rather than requiring them to do it. Like, here's like what happened. Like, I see now that because of the ways that you told me about like your parents taking things away from you, like I see that this might've like really caused like that to come up again. And like, I, you know, wow, right? Here's how I'm fixing it, or I will fix it or make sure, right? Here's how I'm fixing it. Right? Or making amends. Fixing is very, very delicate. You don't want to like make it about quick fixes or anything. But like when there's a breach, it's right, especially let's say it's about harm. I'm going to pay for the thing that I did that caused you any kind of like financial distress, right? Like I'm going to pay for it, right? Here's how I'm right. I'm going to right. I'll use another example, right? Like I said that I was going to take the trash bins back in because that's my job. I left them out for not just one day, but for like 5 days, right? I told you that I was going to take them in. I see that by not taking them in, like, this brought up all the stuff about how much work you do in the house. And like, you know, this was basically like the one job that I had and I didn't even do it, you know? And I see that that like reminded you of like some of the other frustrations about like that we've talked about with chores. I'm setting myself a reminder in my calendar that's going to actually ding at me every time. And I'm actually going to do that twice just to make sure I don't skip over the first one. I'm going to put that in my calendar as a recurring thing, right? I'm also going, right?
Taking accountability.
Right? And taking accountability involves saying how you're not going to do it again. An apology where you're not indicating that you've got any intention or systems in place, right? To prevent doing the exact same thing next week is not really an apology, right?
Right.
Really. Or with the French fries, right? Like, you know, like I see that like I've gotten into the habit of letting you order the French fries so that I can have some. But I see that that upsets you. So in the future, I'm going to order fries for myself if I want them. I'm not going to assume that I can just take yours. Right. Or in the future, that's kind of a silly example, but like, sure. Right. Here's how I'm fixing it. I'm going to, right. And here's how I fix it. Actually, interesting, especially when these breaches occur in community, right? The thing about the check occurred in a community house, but there's others that occur within the context of larger communities, Burning Man camps or housing co-ops or, affinity groups or activist groups, right. Is they repair the breach in part by people we could repair the breach in part by like talking or you know to the other people who've been affected. Right? Like part of the impact of my actions is that not just you have been hurt, but other people have had to spend time and energy on me. Right? So there's repair there. And here's why I won't do it again. Or here's how I'm planning not to do it again. Here's how I'm fixing it. And here's how I'm planning not to do it again. And this is also really, really critical. Like moving, like orienting to the future as, right? Here's how I'm fixing it. Orients to the, like the actual harm caused by this specific thing. Here's how I'm not going to do it again. Orients to the broader thing. That's how you bring yourself closer. That's one of the ways you can create more intimacy and love out of this is by staking your name, not just on, I'm sorry, but like staking your word on actions you're taking to prevent it from happening in the future. It's also a deeply humbling thing. Right. And then the final thing is thanking them, right? Like, thank you. Thank you for holding the space. Like, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for communicating that this was harmful to you in a way that wasn't aggressive, right? Like
It can feel very, very healing when you hear someone actually say thank you, and also to integrate what their learning is. What's their takeaway? What did they learn from this interaction? Because then they got it and that they won't be repeating it because they can actually assimilate. Oh, wow. I've really learned that I don't ask for permission, right? The stealing of the fries is an example. Wow, I really learned from this encounter, this experience. Thank you for enlightening me there. I never saw this about myself, and now I do.
Mm-hmm. There's two things about learning that I want to be careful of. Or a few things, right? One is being overly general. I learned a lot. Not very helpful.
No. That's right. Yeah.
The second thing is self-martyring, right? Creating a statement that forces the other person to be like, oh no, honey, you don't do this too much. Mm. Right? By like, let me hang myself on the cross. Let me just like self-flagellate. Like I always do this. I'm such a bad boyfriend, you know, like, right? Because yeah. That puts the pressure on the other person to be like, no, you're good. It's not that bad, honey. Right?
Right.
Right. So you've got to be discerning and skillful and specific with learnings. And the third thing is if you overly focus on your own learnings, it can actually take away, because I've seen again and again that it could be like, wow, I'm so glad that my pain, like literally my trauma, has been helpful for you to become a better person. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, man, I wasn't implying that.
Right? Like, again and again, I've seen that, like, that the focus on learning can actually backfire. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It just has to be very discerning and has to be in the context of a focus on the harm, not a focus on learning.
Could it also wait? Like bringing the attention back on one's own learning and oneself, like, because then you have all of this beautiful like ownership and empathy and really like taking responsibility for impact, and then you're like, oh yeah, and I learned a lot from this experience, and this person's like, wow, fuck you, like,
yeah,
can be a backhand. I can see that. So could I actually just say that it might be a better, like, to just take this container, this restoration of integrity, and just make it really, truly about them. And then at another time, be like, wow, I learned a lot from that at a different time. Would that be?
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, everything's contextual. There's no hard and fast rules. Describing personal learning that you're doing can, for instance, be appropriate in the context of like an intimate relationship where you're like, that's part of the bounds. But it can also be really, really a breach, honestly. Like, here's an example from my life, right? I just want to own, right? I'm good at apologies because I fucked up so much. I'm part of the Vogue and ballroom community in the Bay Area. There was a big event where I like knew the organizer and I wanted to get a table at the event for me and my friends. And so I said, you know, kind of like, I took the organizer aside and said, hey, you know, can I like give you extra money to get ourselves a table? And I said it, I think I said, can I cross your palm with silver? And I thought I was making like a little joke. And he got back to me and he was like, okay. First of all, right? He was like, you're using your financial privilege to like skip ahead. Mm-hmm. You're using a racist term, like a racist and offensive term. And you're doing this in a community where you're a guest, frankly, right? This is a Black queer community that you know, you get to be a part of because you're great and we love you, but like, fuck you, you know? In my restoration of integrity, I focused on the thanking, right? I focused on like, thank you for communicating this to me in such a generous, loving, and kind way. Thank you for taking the time to explain how harmful this was, right? But I didn't say thank you. Like, I'm learning so much about like, you know, the ways that I use money and privilege. Didn't say any of that, right? Because it really wouldn't have been appropriate in that context, even if that's true, right? So like, all the things that I was learning, I would, right? So like my restoration of integrity took like this much introspection and just took the section that was going to be a contribution to this person and communicate that. Does that make sense? So like the learnings are huge. What you end up communicating to someone else is very targeted and discerning and about the things that I've just shared.
Mm-hmm. Great example. Mm-hmm.
This is actually the pro tip. The pro tip is, I see that by doing that, like I was, you know, he didn't actually take the time to point out all that stuff about like how I was a guest in this community. I did. I took the time to step back and be like, oh shit. Like I told him like, I see that by doing this, I was overstepping my bounds in multiple different ways, both in the context of my race and my privilege, right? And I see that I was doing, right? I was stating that, right? And that tends to communicate, quote, learning way more than talking about your own internal process. Generally not a contribution to other people.
This brings up a question for me. So like we all know that we each have perspective. So sometimes I feel like and I'm not trying to, like, you know, blanket and, yeah, and make it okay, but there's like a place where maybe some of the men that you're working with, or some of the men and women that I work with, is like, they just don't get the other person's perspective. Like, let's say they grew up in whatever way and they had a really sweet family or whatever. And then this other person who, the fries thing, they're like, fuck, the fries are a traumatic experience for me because of this. And so the person that's like harmed is like, I just want to be seen and heard and acknowledged, and I just want to feel safe again. And the other person is like, I don't get it. Yeah. And they go back and they write in their journal and they do all the introspection and they still just can't get it.
I'm so glad that you brought that up. This is like the biggest hurdle.
And yeah, I was just like thinking about some of the, how does one personally, and how, like, work with that? And how do coaches work with that?
Okay. Well, there's a few ways. Number one is, if someone is explaining how the thing was harmful to you or harmful to them, then remind yourself that that is a gift.
Yes.
Right. So if someone has taken it, like, I do, right. If you're like, holy shit. Right. But also remind, right, generally there's a trust factor here of if there was no context, if I blew up at you because of the French fries and there was no context, right? I was using an example that there had been context, right? Mm-hmm. But let's say there was no context and that just triggered the shit out of me. And I know, right? And you know that I know that you would have had no way of knowing that, because I've never gotten upset when you've taken French fries from me. And there was no ever cut, right? So let's go back to this French fry example. Let's say that came out of fucking nowhere. You have to trust that I would also see that this came out of nowhere. And generally speaking, especially in loving a relationship, if this was a random trigger for me, I would know that you would have had no way of knowing that. And I would probably take the time to explain, right? I had this happen recently where I'm creating an event with someone, and I suggested an activity that involved a prompt to create some sort of impromptu performance, right? And we're going to like have the participants at this event create a little performance for everybody else. And the person I'm co-running the event with was really upset and started crying when I started creating this. And they shared with me, right? And they immediately shared with me, because they were like, how, you know, it was so clear that they would have had no idea, like, why, right? And they started crying. And instead of making it about, oh, like, what's wrong, I didn't know, I created the space and was like, welcome the tears. Like, I was standing in my integrity, knowing that, like, I hadn't done anything out of my integrity by suggesting this activity. Yeah? There was nothing out of my integrity by suggesting this activity, but they're crying. By simply creating the space and not making it about, like, my innocence or, right, I literally allowed them to just explain, like, oh, that they had a thing in high school that's a fit, right, where they were like, they bombed a big performance, you know, where they were put on the spot, bombed a big performance, and like it like shut down their performative willingness, right? And it's been affecting them for a decade, right? A few things here. Number one, it's not about me. This isn't about me being innocent. Yes. Let's not make the fucking conversation about, oh, I didn't know. Let's not even go there. Let's make the conversation about how beautiful and loving it is that they shared this with me. Let's make it about me trusting them as a sovereign individual and as a rat, right? To not be projecting and placing the blame on me, even if that's how it feels right now to me. That I've caused this, I'm triggered, right? And I need to get out of trouble. I need to show them, well, I didn't know. I didn't, you know, like I wasn't, what's my fault, right? And just say, thank you. Thank you for explaining this to me. So like one of the big things you can do is create a really welcoming space for the person who is upset to explain that to them, to you. And generally, they will. Right. And then I guess if you've hurt them so badly that they won't, which is almost never the case, really. Right. Like I've almost never seen an instance where if you've created a welcoming space for them to explain their harm, people generally will. This is how this harmed me. the second, right, is to go to a coach or is to go to your friend, is to write it down, right? And to say, hey, like they got really upset by this. And right, here's what most people do. They go to their best friend and be like, can you believe that person getting so fucking upset? Instead, let me recommend, this person got really upset. I don't really understand why. Maybe you can help me get another perspective on this. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right? Because this is really critical, right?
This is why curiosity is so good, because it's leading from a place of being willing to see the other person's perspective, right? And like be curious about their situation, their feelings, their circumstance, what's going on underneath it all.
Okay. And I really want to get back at, I really want to get into this, right? Okay. So I'll use another example. I was with a dear friend the other day and we hadn't seen each other for a while. And we were talking and, you know, the first 15 minutes or the first, right, the conversation lasted about 2 hours, but in the first 30 minutes of the conversation, they spoke and they talked about their, you know, their experience of over the last few months. We were kind of catching up and they were really getting into their experience. And it was about 20 minutes of them talking. And then I started, and then the conversation shifted naturally. And we started talking about my experience and my work for about 3 minutes. I mean, really, it was like 20 minutes and then 3 minutes. After 3 minutes of me talking about my experience, they were like, you know what? You always do this. We're making it about you, Misha. We're making it about you and your work. You know? And I just don't feel like I've had a chance to speak. So right away I'm triggered. Right away I'm in defensive mode, right? Internally. Okay. Right away, I'm going back to the facts. I'm being like, are you fucking kidding me? Like you just spoke for 20 minutes. Like you've dominated this conversation. Are you like in terms of actual airtime, if we were to have recorded this conversation, right? That I am objectively right. I have had almost no time. This is a totally unfair thing. You're projecting on me. How dare you force me to emotionally caretake this bullshit, right? I was right.
Yes.
Objectively. There could be no possible other way of seeing it. But instead of saying any of that, right? I did go through it, right? Like this is the skill, right? This is the skill. It's like it was happening internally, right? But I've learned that protesting my innocence or appealing to facts, right, tends to not work.
Right.
Right? It tends to, right? If your objective is to not emotionally caretake and to like return to connection and juiciness and intimacy and love and joy, then, right, then here's what I did. I said, tell me what else you'd like to share with me. That's all I said. I said, tell me what else you'd like to share with me. Mm. Does that make sense? I skipped right past the part where I was right and they were wrong. Although I was right and they were wrong. I didn't put the emphasis on that by using my words to articulate it. I didn't say that, even though they were saying I was wrong and they were right and they were wrong because I was right. I just said, what would you like to share with me?
Because mm-hmm. you were listening to their need.
Whereupon they proceeded to share a bunch of shit with me. And then at the end of the conversation, they were crying with love and connection and joy. And they were saying things like, that's what I needed to share with you. Right. And they didn't apologize for getting angry at me for having dominated the conversation because they could see that I was fully on it. I didn't need to be right. Even though I was right. I didn't need to be. I just right. Like the need in that conversation. Right. And in that moment, like if I'd felt like a deep emotional need to share, like maybe I would have like created more space for myself to share. But I could see that they had a deeper emotional need to share than I did. Right. In that moment, like authentically, I checked in with myself. I said, do I need to be right right now? Do I need to share with them right now? No. Like, I clearly do. Like, what's the loving thing, right? And so I skipped all the argument. We could have spent the whole time talking about whether who was right or wrong or about my feelings. Like, oh, yeah, you know?
Right. Just, and never gotten to the deeper emotional, like, actual juicy tidbits that were really there to be shared and expressed.
Yeah. Right. So it's actually got less, right? Again, this is a different paradigm. It's not about innocence and guilt. It's also not about who's right and wrong. Yes. Crazily. Right?
Yes.
Crazily. Even when someone else makes an assertion of who's right and wrong or says something that, quote, isn't factually true. And it's really hard, especially in my experience, for men to get out of this dynamic of like objective, right? And I was in it too, of course, because I was like, objectively, I am not dominated. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't.
Powerful. You chose connection in that moment. Shows deeper understanding,
right? This is also the case, right? Like I've seen like this huge breach in a community that's resulted in a woman being essentially excommunicated because the woman that man and a woman were dating, the man wanted sex, the woman had a lot of trauma, she couldn't sleep with him for a lot of reasons, but he kept on like pressuring her, right? If he'd really owned it. And seen it and been like, shit, like, I was pressuring you. It was really out of my integrity to pressure you. Like it's important to me not to pressure the women that I'm with into sex. They could have even stayed together. Frank, like they could have got, really, really been a thing, but instead it's 2 years of radical excommunication. She's gotten really upset. He's actually had to he's gone around and like trash talked her because, mm-hmm. right? Because he's labeled her as being unreasonable because it wasn't that big a deal, right? According to him. So, and she's consistently been gaslit and kind of forced to question her own sanity because she's still so, and at this point she's like deeply, deeply like almost obsessed with him saying like affirming the reality of the breach, but the breach could have just been like acknowledged, healed and moved past so easily. So
there's been a lot of traumatic trauma experiences where someone's experience, someone's reality is invalidated. Like this is regardless of if it was intentionally harmful or not, like, oh my God, this happened for me. This is my experience. And that's really the restoration of integrity, right? Is like you're validating my experience and my reality. Like you don't have to take it on, and you can also own and
acknowledge
that this is the impact. Like, yeah, I mean, I recently also had an experience that was really like totally triggered me. I didn't realize that was going to trigger me. And it wasn't even about the reality in the moment. It was about something, a consistent pattern that I had lived. Luckily, this person was really sweet and showed up in like, oh, I can see that this is the experience that's happening. Let me just show up and let me invite. Instead of being like, oh, I didn't do that. Or, because I've had this trigger before. And what had happened is that people had just continued to invalidate that reality. And so for that woman, like that was her experience. And to be, gaslit and to be just like pushed off into the side. And I'm sure that both people said a bunch of shit in their community that just created more harm for each person.
Oh, yeah.
Continuing to create the crack and the crevice and the disconnection.
And like I find that often this happens because here's the thing, right? Like you've got, and this is why I start with my clients. We always start not with the breach and not with like society's norms, but with their norms and values. We have to uncover like what your standards of integrity are. What are the things that matter to you? How do you want to show up? What's important to you? Genuinely important to you. It's important to, right? So that the man or the client could say something like, it's important to me, right? To show up lovingly with my partners. That's what flows, right? Because that, right? And then the question becomes, how do I show up lovingly? Not was I right or wrong?
Yes. Right?
This is pretty basic, but it's really critical. And to do that work and to be able to show up in this way, you've got to be able to say, you've got to be able to know and stand in your own integrity, right? And this is because a lot of times the concerns, when I hear concerns about emotional caretaking, what I hear are like, what I hear sometimes, and I don't want to impose this on your audience or imply this necessarily, but one of the things I might look at is, have you gotten really clear about what your standards of integrity are and what's important to you, right? Because I don't know. Let me see if I can explain. If you're able, like the skill of not taking on the things that other people are putting onto you comes from having seen, I know who I am. Like I can stand in my integrity knowing that I don't have to protest my innocence. Mm-hmm. Right? Because I know when I'm out of integrity or not. I can look at this thing and say, was I out of integrity? No. Was I dominating the conversation in a way that, like, because it is important to me not to like dominate every conversation with my intimate partners or with my deep friends. Right? That is important to me. And is that real? Is that the thing here? You know, and you can use that's the discernment is, but you have to be able to know your own standards of integrity and be willing to say, this is, it's important to me to work on these things. And that's what liberates you from not taking on the shit that other people will inevitably project onto you. Right? I can say, thank you. Without, I'm taking it on now. It means I'm wrong. It means I'm wrong, and they're going to use this as ammunition against me in the future, right? Like all that defensiveness shit. I mostly got it. Go ahead.
I love the perspective here, and I love that it's such a powerful reframe of taking ownership and responsibility, and also just so loving, like to again the validation of someone's reality and their experience is so transformative. Especially in places of trauma or in places of deep disconnect, you're giving me a lot to think about in how I've shown up in some places recently as well, and I'm so grateful. Like always, I say that yay, Don and I get to do couples therapy together. Thank you for being our coach today, Misha. I'm curious, do you want to take us through like a step-by-step where you like take us through something?
I mean, I feel like we already did little bit, but I'm happy to. There's not like
no, it's okay. Like I just wanted to see how you wanted.
Yeah. No, I think I mean
if yeah, it feels like we went through his process is what
we kind of already did, right? We kind of already did, right? There is a tool about like how to restore integrity, but like it's basically that's basically the thing and we've reduced it at this point to like a few steps. Here's what I did. Here's how it hurt you. Here's how I'll fix it. Here's how I won't do it again. Thank you. Right?
Thank you. Powerful.
So powerful. And then you can actually really start tapping into the things that you have to be grateful for. Thank you for taking the time to have this deep emotional conversation with me. Thank you for taking the time to explain the way that I hurt you in a calm, loving way. Right? Thank you for holding me in a space of vulnerability as I see a way that I fucked up. Right? Mm-hmm. Like there's so much to be grateful for when someone tells you how you hurt them. But here's the other thing, and how you caused harm. Here's the other thing, and this is I really wanted to at least touch on this because one of the things that I've really seen again and again is you can't rush over it and you can't make it a debate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You can't
say, and I see this happen all the time, especially, and I'm going to use this in a gendered way because I do work with men. But like, especially men who are very erudite, very, very articulate, love conversing, you know, have a value, a deeply held value around debate, a deeply held value around may the best idea win, a deeply held value around let me be like, it's important to be right, objective truth, rationality. Yeah, you're right, very familiar. Deeply, deeply problematic when it comes to this practice, right? Like those things tend to stand in opposition. If every conversation becomes debate, then, right, especially people who might not be as comfortable in like debate formats won't want to engage. They won't want to say, here's how you hurt me, because they know that you're just going to say, you're going to argue it, right? Like, oh, it's really unsafe, right?
Yes.
So I've worked with men where I say, okay, the practice is you have to like, once you've restored integrity, if you want to have a conversation, like if you want to like connect with them again, right, because you're most comfortable in conversation, then the conversation has to be you creating the space for them to share how you hurt them without you coming back onto it and debating it and piecing apart their critiques and piecing apart their feelings and saying, you know, what's legit or valid or not.
Oh, God.
Right? Does that make sense? Because it's really scary, actually, right? Mm-hmm. I'm working with a man right now to do a restoration of integrity with a woman.
Unsafe us for the person.
Yeah.
And he wanted to end it with, like, let's have a conversation. But I know him, and I know how much he, like, values debate. And I was like, I don't think that's the invitation. Like, the authentic action here is for you to create a space for her to explain the way that you hurt her. Mm-hmm. But it's not to create a space for debate. And if you don't consciously create that, then you're going to create a space where you might be inviting a conversation, but she's never going to feel comfortable explaining her pain to you, because you're going to come right back and invalidate it through argument, or invalidate it through saying, well, here's how, you know, you hurt me, or here, you know, et cetera. Does that make sense? It's not safe. And this happens all the time. Like, I see men being like, well, can't we just like have a conversation about it? Like, why can't we just talk? Right. And the reason is because you're going to out-talk me. You know, you're going to out-debate me. And I don't want to go through that, frankly. I don't want to bring up all my trauma in order to be invalidated by your debate and by telling you like, like how important it is to you to be right, and like how you were in fact right in that situation.
Yes.
Fuck you. Like, I'd rather not go into it. I'd rather just be mad at you. Or I'd rather just not even have a relationship with you.
I think that happens so often, you know, like there's like the logical brain, which is super like, you know, and then there's the emotional place. And that's a whole lot of other stuff going on. That's a whole other realm of being human. Right. And so it's like, just, I think that finding the place or focusing on the place of understanding is a really deeply weaving connection, weaving intimacy, weaving vulnerability into relationships, into communities, into friendships. That's
so juicy. And it's amazingly healing. It's amazingly intimate. It's amazingly loving. You come at a thing where you've hurt, and instead of defensiveness and innocence and making it about validity or rationality, you approach these interactions with humility, gratitude, and contrition. What you'll find is deep strength. There's nothing to assail. There's nothing. You can't attack. There's nothing to attack. There's nothing. There's no drama anymore.
Yeah. It's dissolving it.
Yeah. You dissolve it with humility, gratitude, and contrition. You just say, thank you. Thank you for sharing this with me. Thank you for taking the time for the vulnerability of sharing your hurt. Thank you for being so articulate about it. Thank you for like explaining it to me in a way that you knew that I would understand. Like, wow. And it's the opposite of being a doormat. It requires deep strength and deep strength, because you have to, in order to do this, you have to know yourself, because it'll also cause harm if you take ownership of everything, right? Again, with the self-martyring and this, right? You know, I'm sorry for everything. that's also bad, right? Because now you're just, right, trying to make it go away again.
And it's also diluting the the positive impact. It's diluting the apology. It's diluting the the acknowledgement, the ownership. I love your work in the world, Misha. It's true. I do really, I think this is some of the most powerful work that can be presented in the world, especially in our society and in the, in the world, because there is so much right, wrong dichotomy stuff. And someone has to be, for it to be right, there's someone has to be wrong. And I think that just bringing it back into connection and into compassion is really the most important thing. And that's, I mean, my idea of compassion has very much shifted over the last, 2 years, and the honest, like, look at oneself as well as the honest acknowledgement of an impact is so deeply compassionate. Thank you so much for your work in the world and how you show up and how, what you're doing, with your coaching practice and with the community that you're building. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
I don't know. Sorry. Speak to the community that I'm to Verlof.
Speak about it. Would you like to speak about it? Share about it?
I mean, okay. So Verlof is a sex positive community, and we're 400 or 500 people, and we're the mission is to spread sex positivity safely. And one of the things that we've seen is the only way to create safe community, or the only way to create community in general, and the only way to spread this particular mission, but any kind of mission, is to create a norm around the things that we've been talking about. Like, the norm has to be, this is a place that's safe for radically honest conversations about power, about bias, about privilege, about harm.
Yes.
If we right, and to do that, you have to really create the conscious community. One of the ways this all the transformative justice processes break down, I've seen this again and again, is when there actually isn't a quote community. Angel, who runs Folsom Events and is a mentor both to our community and to me personally, they're a two-spirit indigenous. One of the things they like to joke, they told me this the other day in a conversation. They were like, "Misha, like, are straight people okay? Like, how, do you know what I mean? Like, are you guys like, you don't have any of these skills? Like, you don't really exist in community? You're all just like working your little like careers, and then like, you know, when someone rapes someone, like, no one's gonna step up to like hold the community and hold the rapist and hold the victim and like be loving. Like, you're all just too busy with your fucking conferences and thought leadership. Are you guys okay? Like, it's nuts." To them, this is all nuts. I really wanted to bring it back to the wisdom of community, right? And how what we've lost in a modern society, especially, I'm just going to speak for myself as a, you know, as being raised in these institutions, to like think of life as like your career and your work, and then, you know, you get married and have a family, but you don't necessarily need a congregation. You don't need, right? Like, it's cool to not, right? In fact, it's actually better to not be part of a religion. It's better to be not part of a church, because that kind of dogma isn't modern or progressive. Mm-hmm. But what we've lost in that is a deep sense of being held by a community. No kidding, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Because everything's transient. Everything, you know, we're global nomads. We can just bounce to wherever, right? Like, if I fuck up here, I can just move to Bali or whatever, right? Like, what we've lost is a sense of being held and of being interpersonally responsible, right? And so by creating conscious community, it doesn't really hardly matters what it is, but what it means is that when we've got people in the community, we have to be willing to hold them when they fuck up. And that's a big ask. It's a huge ask, in fact. And there's a reason that the structure of tithing and religion exists, because you kind of rely on pastors or rabbis to like hold the community. And what I've heard from a lot of holders of sex positive communities and of Burning Man camps is that like their default role becomes not event planner, but rather rabbi. Right? That you're holding community. You're this is the work when there's breaches, is to hold both people in a space of love, both people, right? It's like not to make everybody disposable, not to just kick people out. And again, coming back to like the origins of these ideas, come from marginalized communities, right? The ideas of transformative justice were originated by communities that can't call the cops because they can't trust the cops to be fair. They can't trust the justice system to be fair or impartial, right? Like if you're a Black woman and your Black husband like assaulted you, calling the cops on the Black man is a huge deal. It's a, yes. It's a lot there, right? so you, right? And again, Angel talked about this in Indigenous communities. The idea is you can't excommunicate. You can't just kick people out. And that, you know, and again, like there's a lot of nuance here.
Right. But
there are techniques that are developed in order to be able to really hold community. At least what we're trying to do is to create a community within For Love that is that adheres to those values, or at least aspires to those values, rather than we all just party together.
Awesome. If you want to find out more about Misha's incredible community and his work and how to work with him, I've typed in the chat box here how you can find him. And I want to give a really beautiful shout out to Love Coach Academy and Sign Network for hosting and sponsoring and being a muse for us. And thank you so much for the communities that we're being a part of and really yes. inviting this work into the world. And may we have so many more conversations about this. I'm looking forward, Misha, to maybe taking a class with you or you know, like really, really deepening this work in myself, in my clients, and in the communities that I'm in.
I'm so glad. And I'll just give a last shout out to the Reverend Bridge Feltus. She has been by far the biggest influence in terms of really coming, like getting clear on what integrity is. She runs radical anti, like basically racial consciousness courses for an incredibly cheap amount. It's an incredible value.
Awesome.
And you can find her at the Reverend Bridge Feltus, the Intersection for Mankind. And we can include that link as well. I wanted to shout that out because that work is so critical, not just for people, and it's specifically for people racialized as white. It's specifically, you know, and I would love to be able to say that there was like a male mentor who did this around gender. And there are a few mentors. Destin Garrick from The Evolved Masculine is one of my major mentors and has been doing this work for 20 years. But I just specifically wanted to shout her out and encourage white people to do that work. It's really huge.
And I have added that into. Wow.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Misha, for being on the show today. Really appreciate your wisdom.
Thank you so much, both of you, for having me. This was delightful. I hope I didn't overspeak too much.
No, it's great to
hear. This is what it's about, is really getting out what's true and alive. And, you know, that's what I want. And I think that's what Dawn wants too, is to give you a platform to teach the work that's really true to your heart and in the world. And I know that, like, I know you, and it's important for me to present your work in the world because I know how important it is and how much it's changed my life already. So yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for talking and giving examples, because that's what helps us all learn, is the examples, is the really understanding how it applies to us and how we can show up better and different and really even more loving in the world. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dawn.
See you
next Thursday.
Yes. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.